second Sunday of Advent. Today's word, we're not going to discuss it in the message today, but today, the second Sunday of Advent, and the second week of Advent, if you want to celebrate it, is about, all about peace. And I don't know about you, but I did not find peace in my life until I met somebody. No one, Carol. Y'all don't tell her that. I don't want to get mad at me. It was a guy. What? A guy met a guy and found peace? How's that possible? Hey, some in this world will have you believe that is possible, but the guy I met was a supernatural guy. Not an alien. Amen. But a supernatural force that gave me peace when I met Jesus. When I started walking with Him. Now, if you can't celebrate Advent in a peaceful fashion, we might need to find some more Jesus for us. Amen. Because some of us may have lost some of what we found earlier. Amen. But that's just a little bit extra. That's not part of the message today. Your title for your message today is simple. Y'all like simple titles, right? And it may have something in common with what we're going through right now. The title today is, everybody say A.
A.
Everybody at home wants to say A or type A. Second word?
Christmas.
A Christmas. That's the title. A Christmas. Man, we can think of a lot of things about a Christmas, can't we? We can think of a lot of things when we grew up. We had celebrations, didn't we? We had certain things that we did on Christmas Day. Some of us wasn't centered around church, was it? Some of us, when we grew up, our celebrations on Christmas was what? Running grandpa's house, around grandma's house. Or if you're lucky enough, I'm going to put some presents under our trees. That actually, here's the one we all really liked. The presents were actually what we wanted for Christmas, what we had asked for. Where did we get those back in? Y'all remember where it came from? A catalog. Y'all remember the catalog? What was the catalog name?
Montgomery Ward.
Sears and Roebuck. JCPenney's. All kinds of toys, wasn't it? You go through that thing and be like, I want. And it was like Eastern and Western now. They want everything. He says, they see something. I want that for my Christmas. I want that for Christmas. I want that for my birthday. We did the same thing when we were little, didn't we? Everything we see, we said we wanted. And if we were lucky, some of those things showed up. I doubt any of us ever got all the things that we wanted on a single Christmas. Amen? But we celebrated, didn't we? We ran around with our families. We didn't really, if we weren't going to church at that time, we didn't really know what Christmas was truly about, did we? We just thought, it's a day to have fun and have what? Other than presents, what do you do on Christmas?
Eat.
Almost like Thanksgiving. Amen. Sometimes even a little bit more food than what you get for Thanksgiving. And there was something else back in the day that you got on Christmas. Y'all remember what it was? You got to eat. You got to watch football. You got to watch sports back in. That, whether you went to church or not, you got to eat and watch sports. One of the memories I have growing up was with my foster dad. Every Christmas, we would watch. I don't even think it's still played now. But every Christmas, we would watch what was called the North-South Football Game. It was a college all-star game after we ate dinner. That was something that we really enjoyed. It was like 18, 19, 20 years of doing that every Christmas. So we all have Christmas memories, don't we? We all have Christmas memories. What I want you to do right now for the rest of the message, or the start of the message at least, is picture this in your mind. I thought about having one up here, but we don't have a tree up here. So, picture this. You got a random Christmas tree sitting up there. You got to order. Everybody, every Christmas tree has to have one hanging off of it. Not lights. The other thing. Ornaments.
Right? We have seen some crazy looking ornaments in our time, haven't we? From what they used to be to what they are now. They make glass blown, like mouth blown, ornaments now.
Which is kind of cool.
But here's what I want you to do.
We all have ornaments that we like growing up in. There was kind of a tradition from year to year, maybe even still do.
But picture this. Instead of what you see on the ornaments that you had growing up, picture on each ornament a life event that happened in your life. Something that happened, good or bad. Amen? That's what I want you to have in that little Christmas tree. Is the ornaments labeled not my life events.
Well, not for me, but for you guys.
Picture Christmas tree with your life events as the ornaments. Amen? Same thing at home. You do it too. Give me a thumbs up or amen in the comments. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. May your Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct through me, Jesus. May your words be spoken, not mine, Lord. Lord, may we each open our heart, our mind, and our soul, Lord, to your mercy, your grace, your love, Lord, and the blessing and the message today that you're giving us, Lord. May we each come out of today's message, Lord, with a better understanding, a deeper love of what Christmas truly means for each one of us, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it?
Amen.
Amen. Humans, and by humans I mean us. Amen. Not dogs or animals, cats, kitties. Us. Humans. We have an insatiable desire, don't we? We have an insatiable desire to find meaning and purpose in even the most random events in our lives. Like the ones I asked you to put on your Christmas ornaments. We long for a meta-narrative. A comprehensive explanation of history and experience. Amen? It ensures there's a purpose to everything that we do. That is a story that's going somewhere. Amen? Our life events that we've seen, that we place on the ornaments on our trees, that we've seen in our minds just a minute ago, is a story that's going somewhere. Amen? None of us want that story to end right now, do we? We want it to end somewhere in the future. Amen? But it's going somewhere. We always say, and everybody does, everything has a what? Reason. I don't believe in what? A coincidence. Amen? You just haven't met the right person yet. If you're still looking for that significant other. Amen? Now, like this last one, we always say, when we don't get something, what do we say? Well, some of us get mad, but what do we end up saying? I guess it wasn't meant to be. I guess it wasn't meant to be. Amen? Ooh. Christians connect the dots and call it a God thing. Amen? When tragedy strikes, we ask why. We want to find purpose in the pain, don't we? We want suffering to connect to something purposeful. We naturally assume that there is a purpose in what we're going through. Amen? The Christmas story is a reminder that the thing in us that wants to connect the dots is not to be ignored. Amen? The thing in us that wants to connect the dots is not to be ignored. The world isn't as random as we might think it is. There really is a story. From the beginning of time till today, all those years later, there really is a story. Life is connected from Genesis to us today. Amen? What's that story called? It's a divine story, isn't it? It's a divine story of God, grace, Jesus, mercy, and us. Amen. From time to time, it's as if God drops directly into our lives. It's unmistakable, isn't it? In ways to give the flywheel a push, to remind us, to reorient us, to connect the dots, to give us our bearings. Amen. And these are some of my favorite verses in the Bible, in the New Testament. If you're skeptical about the Bible, this might be of special interest to you. The first scripture comes from the book of Luke. I'll get that out in a second. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm sure we're in the NIV version. It says this: many have undertaken to draw up the account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to those who from the first were witnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know what? The certainty. You may know the certainty of things being taught. I don't know about you, but everybody out there trying to tell us our Bible is false, ain't it? Just a fairy tale, a fiction book. I don't know about you, but that statement right there tells me this. That sounds different than once upon a time. Don't. Once upon a time is our fairy tales. Amen. That begins a certainty. Everybody say certainty. Everybody at home, type certainty. Gives us a certainty of things that we've been taught. Gives us a certainty of things that we've lived since we started our relationship with Jesus. It gives us a certainty. So when Satan and our friends come rolling around telling us we're goofy, we ain't got a clue what we're talking about, and we got a fake religion, amen, we can say, you know what? That scripture right there give me the certainty that it was the start of a beautiful story of Jesus. Amen. This is the start of that story. Amen. Luke 1, 26-37, NIV version says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth was Mary's relative. We don't know the exact relation, do we? The King James Version translated to the word cousin. So we don't know the exact relation, but we'll go cousin today. How's that sound? God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named who? Joseph, a descendant of Jacob. No, I got the tongue-tied, didn't I? Read that again. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Just another arranged marriage like before. That's what everybody wanted you to think, ain't it? That's what everybody wanted you to think. But it's got more than that, don't it? The virgin's name was Mary. Think about all that hung in the balance by this choice. A new religion. Cathedrals to be built. Amen. Crusades. Martyrs. Hospitals. Christian music nowadays. Amen. Even bumper stickers would come from that relationship. Amen. It changed the balance of life on here and in heaven. Amen. We don't know anything about Mary before the angel Gabriel interrupted her life. All we know is that she was planning to marry that guy named Joseph. You know, that carpenter. And lead a normal life, like her mother and her father did before she did. Amen. She'd probably live and die in the same Galilean community that she grew up in. She would just be another nameless, faceless Millions of people who come and go and leave no mark. No memorial, no trace. Amen. That hasn't ever been alive. Should be left wondering if life has a purpose. Or if it's just random. Do we just pop in, pop out? Amen. But the time had come for another chapter in the story of God, in the story of our redemption, to be written. Amen. Verse 28 says, "Then the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored.'" How many of y'all are glad you're highly favored today?
Hallelujah.
Amen. "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I heard she was kind of scared. So I know I would have been. Amen. But he said, "The Lord is with you." Wondered what kind of greeting that might be. She didn't know if it was good or bad news, did she? When he popped up. But the angel said to her, "What? Do not be afraid. Don't be a scared. Don't be a chicken butt." Amen. How many of y'all listen to chicken butts today? He said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You have been singled out for a purpose." God is showing up in human history, isn't he? Guess what? The same God that showed up back then to Mary still shows up to us today. Still gives us a favor above the world today. Still gives us a purpose like he gave Mary back then. Amen? "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus." I'm glad she called him Jesus. I'm glad she followed through with what the angel told her. Amen. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom," what? "Will never end." His kingdom will never end. I'm glad we got that same Jesus today. That his kingdom still reigns, rules supreme, and will never end. Amen? Think about that though. Kingdom. They hadn't even had an independent Jewish kingdom in over 500 years. But she wasn't concerned about that, was she? She had another issue to contend with. She said in verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked that angel. "Since I'm a what?"
"Virgin."
"Since I'm a virgin." For those of y'all that don't know what a virgin is, that's somebody that has never had intercourse. Hence, cannot have a baby. Hence, hey, gotta be miracle, right? Gotta be on purpose. Gotta be her purpose. Amen. And the angel answered this: "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, or to be born, will be called the Son of God." And sure enough, sure enough, that's what we call him, isn't it? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. Amen. This word from God is not impossible. Amen. God's word will never fail. How strange. It had been over 400 years since God had done anything to avert 400 years of randomness, of Babylonians, Persians, Alexander the Great, the Roman Republic, now the Empire. Now this, God shows up and says, ha ha, it's time for me to change something. I got to pull the change up in the middle of the game. I got to bring in my reliever, my closer. I'm glad we got a closer named Jesus. How about you? The birth of the King. God. Amen. Where have you been? Where was he at all that time? We were beginning to wonder. I'm sure that's what they were thinking. On occasion, God directly dropped into the lives of men and women to push the flywheel of his plan. It's like God showed up in history and said, nope, nope. How many of y'all hate being told no by anybody, even God? We don't like the word no, don't we? Do we? But God showed up in history and said, no, don't you understand? This isn't about the plans of man. This isn't about the plans of Ronnie. This isn't about the plans of Matt. This isn't the plans of us at 3 Mile. Amen? This is about the will of God. This is about following God. And we got a hard time. We still, even after we're saved, have a hard time getting ourselves out of the way, don't we? We still want our will. We still want our will. Every one of those kingdoms and empires came and went, didn't they? And went by God's declaration. Not ours. Not theirs in the past. Amen? But not by man's declaration, but by God. When you look at the details in the history, you may not see my hand. But understand, life is not random. I am the God of purpose. And everything happens because of God's will. Amen? Not any of our wills, but God's will. But for the most part, our days seem to be made up of mostly random events, of things that happen in our lives. Back then, it was probably a little bit of farming, a little bit of carpentry, a little bit of water gathering, food preparation. Today, those random events can be anything from hanging out with our kids, to going to the grocery store, going to school, going to church. Amen? Random events that we take for granted, don't we? We take for granted those random events that happen in our lives. Mary doesn't hear from the angel again. Things get back to random. Only worse. Next thing she knows, what happened? She prayed over. Oh, can I say that? I guess I just did, didn't I? She's pregnant. Oh, guess what? She's still pregnant. Her baby daddy. Never did anything, did they? But she's pregnant. She's riding on the donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is about 80 miles in between each other. Which is a very long journey by foot. She's wondering where that angel is now. She belly about ready to pop. She like, uh-oh, man, how am I going to get by with this? The angel said, everybody's starting to call, staring at Jesus and Mama. Because she got a belly on her now. She's showing as she's riding around. And she can't tell them, can she? She can't tell them what happened. She can't tell them where that baby come from. Amen? She knows, like a lot of mommies don't necessarily know where their daddy come from, or the baby come, their daddy come from. But she knows that it came from the angel. It came from God. But she can't say anything, can she? She can't tell them her story yet, can she? Miss Favorite of God. She gets there, and the journey had been so long that there were no rooms for her to stay in. She and Joseph had to go stay in a stable. Then they hear that Herod wants to kill their child. He wants to kill the baby that's going going to reign for eternity. They get back on the donkey. They head to Egypt, which was about 200 miles further away from home. Then Mary gets a little worse, or gets the worst news imaginable. And that is this. Herod did what Herod does. He slaughtered every boy 2 years and under in Bethlehem and in the surrounding vicinities. How can she not feel as if it was her fault that all those other babies got killed? A random act of violence was really another day for Herod, wasn't it? Well, which branch of that purpose tree was Mary supposed to hang all those thoughts? That would be a little bit hard, wouldn't it? You'd be thinking, man, my purpose is, that shouldn't have been in my purpose. I'm carrying God's child. Every child should have been protected. I'm sure that probably went through her head a few times. And then one day, favored by God, Mary would listen, and her God-given son is beaten within an inch of his life. He's mocked. He's crucified. We know the story at that end, don't we? Or the end of that story. She did not at that time. When she was getting ready to have him, she had no clue all that was going to come. In that moment, just another senseless Roman execution when they killed him. From everybody's perspective, it was a random act of violence. Jesus was a nobody and would be remembered by no one. I don't know about you, but my Jesus is not a nobody. Amen? It'd just be one more broken heart. She would be just one more brokenhearted Galilean mother. But from the vantage point of time, we know what happened, don't we? We know there was nothing random about any of it. Her pain was our gain. Her pain in having Jesus was our gain. Little did she know that she would be favored by God and favored by man. Amen? Perfect faith is not faith in what God moves or what. Let me read that again. Perfect faith is not faith that moves God. Perfect faith is faith that moves us to trust God when He doesn't seem to be moving. Perfect faith is to respond to the seemingly random events of our lives as if they are perfectly part of God's perfect plan, because they are. Any random event that happens in our lives is part of God's plan. Amen. Paul put it in theological terms when he wrote this. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, "In Him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything." Amen. Works out everything in conformity with the purpose of whose will? His will. Not my will. Not your guys here will. Not the ones watching the homes will. But works it out perfectly in God's will. Amen. Mary put it in very personal terms when she said to the angel in Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." How many of us, after we've accepted Jesus, have been like, "Hey, I'm your servant, but I don't want to go through no pain. I don't have no problems. I don't have no issues." I know I have. We still do, don't we? But Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." May it be, in other words, according to your word. May it be according to God's word, God's will. Even though it dismantles the future that she envisioned, even if it dismantles the future that we envision, let it be according to God's purpose. Amen. We want to know where to hang everything on the tree, don't we? We want to know the order and the relationship. How many of y'all had a family that when you did the Christmas tree, you might have had the same ornaments year after year? Your mom and your grandma had a process of this. Oh, I'm sorry, the lights got to go on first. The tinsel got to go on second. Ooh, how many of y'all hated tinsel? Oh, I hated that stuff. But it was the order, wasn't it? And then when it comes to the ornaments, what happens? Oh, they got to have a certain order too. If you put them in backwards, they're going backwards, your mom wouldn't meet you, would she? She'd be like, no. That's not the way they go. Take them right back off and put them right back on the opposite way. Still in the same places, probably. But it was the process. It was the tradition that we went through, wasn't it? It's not our responsibility to know where. Our responsibility is to believe that everything has a place on that tree, whether we know where it goes or not. Amen. Here's what I've seen. If people were able to see it all coming from God's hands, they're able to respond in a way that allows God to create purpose from randomness. Amen. We are created to look for purpose. I don't know about you, but God told us back in Jeremiah somewhere, I don't know, I can't even quote the exact verse, but he said, what? I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. So it's not randomness, is it? Everything that we consider random is for God's purpose that He had predestined for us. Amen. Sometimes we find it, don't we? Sometimes we find that purpose. Guess what? Sometimes we don't. But we should always be looking for it. Always be working towards God's purpose, not ours. Amen. Sometimes we find it immediately. Sometimes it takes us years. But we find it eventually. Amen. At Christmas time, we're reminded that life is not as random as it seems. There's a story taking place. There's a divine story taking place right now. And if we choose, we can participate in it, can't we? If we choose, we can participate in it. As Mary said, so shall we say today, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I want to close by praying for everybody, one another in a minute, as we get ready for our final song. But I want you to take this with you during this Christmas season this year. God has a purpose for us. Are we living by His purpose or ours? Anything that we feel is random and disconnected is still under God's will and purpose and love for our lives. Be sure to share what He's done with for you, with you, to you. The purpose that He has given you to somebody in your family that don't know Him this year. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your word today, Jesus. Lord, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing in this Christmas story that we covered today, Jesus. Lord, I thank You for Mary having her backs back then, Lord, being willing to follow the purpose that You give her, even though she didn't fully understand what was going on, Lord. Lord, I ask that You put that on each one of our hearts right now, Lord. Lord, that when we would feel like we're getting into some randomness, Lord, that we would get ourselves out of the way, Lord, and allow Your will back in full control and center of our lives, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you put somebody in front of us that we can share this message with, Lord. That we can share that Jesus is the true Son of God, Lord. Lord, not fiction, but truth, Lord. More importantly, mercy and grace for each one of us, Lord, that develops that relationship with Him, Lord, to live out our lives and eternity in heaven with Him and our family and friends that go. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.